thank you, Heavenly Father, for your invitation, O Lord, to come and feast at your table. Truly, Lord, in this day that we live in, the world is sick, and people are just a part of it, Lord. But we thank you, Father, that because of your redemption, because of your salvation in Christ Jesus given to us, we should not be a part of this. Though we are in this world, we are not of this world. We're just merely passing through, Lord. So grant us grace, Lord Jesus, as we walk and feast with you and dream your everlasting words of life. Cause us to grow, Lord. That we may grow matured and to know who we are in the world that we live in. Therefore, so let our light so shine before men, Lord. Let the salt of thy word, O Lord, that season us, be truly that we are well seasoned to show forth our faith. We ask for your grace now, Father, Lord, as you hear thy word, just break it down in Jesus' name for us. Amen. God bless you and be seated. All right, to the book of Acts. We have been, for the last few weeks now, and looking at how the early church started. And I always rejoice in look at what God was doing in the past, in the life of his people, and how he bring about events to attract the masses of people, and he may hear the gospel. And yet, in all that, it is his ordination, his election. And sometimes it is very hard for a lot of people to really grasp the issue. I was watching the documentary on A Brief History of Time regarding Stephen Hawking's explanation about time, about this universe. And when you talk about physics, about science and quantum mechanism and all sorts of things, you know, it's mind-boggling. And how that, you know, they discovered the black hole, one of his colleagues in a university in England, and he's a brilliant young man who they just want to, well, like Larry King said, now that I remember, on the Larry King show. You know Larry King, right? Politicking. If you ever watch the news on where his talk show, he says, question more. And people need to question more, that's true. And in his mind, in this man's mind, Stephen Hawking and his colleagues, they really question. They want to know, how did this whole universe exist? Why are they here? But strangely, you know, Stephen Hawking was raised up as a boy, as a young man. His father read to him Bible story, tell him a Bible story, talk to him about, you know, but he never really embraced the gospel. And after he got into that affliction where his muscles start dying away, at the age of 17, if I'm not mistaken. And then the doctor gave him 2 years to live. The doctor said, your muscle will just go. Your heart will still be there to pump. Your brain will still be active. Only your muscle is going. The doctor gave him 2 years, but somehow he lived. And he just died last. Several months back, I think a month of March, he passed away. I think it's the age of 75. You know, Stephen Hawking, some of you may not. He's a man who's on a wheelchair. An iconic voice because of the computer voice that generated for him. And it was brilliant because his mind was there. He couldn't move anymore. He started to think. He couldn't just wait out trying to reason and find the answer. And so he worked up formulas to be able to look at things. And even people are doing it now. Using a formula and like people use Einstein's formula and so on and so forth. Black hole, so dense, you suck in the light and everything, mind-boggling. Then he said, if the universe is here, already here by itself, it has already been existing, that means there is no need for a creator. But where are we heading? But if the universe has a beginning, then there must be a God. Yet, no matter how you look at it, people, you know, you buy, you got to find, come to a place where you know you are here for a reason. We're not here for no reason. Thing doesn't just exist by itself. But you see, the thing about it, when you have knowledge, when we have knowledge, how do we apply knowledge? How do we look at this knowledge? Or what good is knowledge to us if we are not drawn close to God? So when God, when I look at this book of Acts, how did the church start? And you see how God began to work the way He works. But yet many times in my mind, you know, I'm always thinking. So why is God doing this thing? And my mind will go back and forth, try to analyze. I said, that's not fair. And you begin to work with the man called Abraham, just deal with that in Israel, yet in China, India, other places. The people never heard the gospel. What about them? What about them? What about them? See, the mind began to go this way and that way, trying to, well, understand things. But in the end, when that became so complex, you know, the sister said in America, I said to him, I said, you know, Barbara made a statement, it got in simplicity. We all know that. But yet, she was saying, God is complex too. So, God in complexity. Complexity in simplicity, simplicity in complexity. How do you understand God? The only thing, the end result, my mind will come back and to realize that God is always in control. He do what He wants because He's the creator and we are the clay, He's the potter. We can never ask Him, why do you do this? Why do you make me tough? Why do you make the universe like this? Why is there suffering in the world today? See, God must do something, but God doesn't want to do things in a way that we want it. If there is a God, stop the war. Stop the diseases, right? You believe it. Stop the madness of the world. But when my mind goes like this, find all this complexity, then I'll just come back to simplicity of God. That God is doing what He wanted to do according to His own will and His own purpose. And if He began in that way that He wanted to do to deal with people, He got to start with somebody. And that is His choice. And so when we look into the book of the Acts, we understand the way He works. But then it comes to the place where every one of them that God dealt with must apply faith. Kind of hard, huh? What is faith? What is faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What is faith? And yet, we know Abraham defined faith as a revelation. If I don't understand God, how can I believe in God? If I don't see God, how do I believe in God? But yet, the Bible tells us many times, even the heavens declare the glory of God. These are the handiworks, and look at it, you know, there must be. And they that search me early shall find me, as the Bible said. Because the heaven is a witness, and God's speaking to you through that. Just I brought a friend to the gospel when I was in Whoopi's hospital, I told you about. He said, he doesn't believe in God. He said, show me God and I'll believe. And I told him, all right, simple. You do your night duty in the hospital, when all the patients are sleeping, just get out into the field. The side door, you go out there, look up in the night. And tell me whether there is a God. So it was a week later when he met me, come, Richard. Yes, there is a God. I said, you want to hear the gospel now? Yes, please. by sharing the gospel, and he became converted, and his whole family all become Christian. You see, your testimony in the place where I work, in the mental hospital, everybody knows me. From the beginning when I stopped working there, everyone came to know me within a few months. And they started to thank me. Preacher Gunn, Father Gunn, Reverend Gunn, Longshot Gunn, whatever. Why? We testify. Because he that wins soul is wise. Bring one soul and the rest will rule. I brought the man to Christ and he brought his mother, family, all. From there he began to share with others. The same. So when you look at the book of Acts, how God began it, the church. And you just look at the way that God started the church. And you see the faith of these people. But if you are not in tune with God, if you don't believe the Bible, you will say that this is just a story. Huh. So when we read already in the first five chapters, and what do we see? How the boldness of Peter and John. How the Holy Spirit give them the power and deal with them the power to speak the word. How that even when there are hypocrites among them, remember one thing, that the early church is not pure, not perfect. There are always three kinds of believers. And we see Ananias and Sapphira. They pray the hypocrisy and say, they lie. And God struck them dead. And I said this, will the church of the end time, before the coming of Christ, experience these things? We don't know, right? But I believe that, as the Bible said, I'm Alpha and Omega. What goes around comes around. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. There might be a doldrum of, as if nothing happened now. After Brother Bram had done all that miraculous work in the early 20th century, you got so many evangelists, so many preachers go out there with signs and wonder. But what happened? After that, there's a lot of fake. People went back also to the system. And look at that message, the same thing. Where's the power in the church today? Where's the power in the church today? They don't even want to look at the scripture of God properly, the doctrine, the truth properly. They only want to tag themselves to what Brother Branham said, what Brother Branham said, and so on and so forth. There's so much schism in the body. But you see one thing, there will come a time that if you are watchful, and that's what I believe, the Bible says watch and pray. Watchful. You see, the early church didn't know what's going to happen. The apostle and the 120 believers, they don't know what's going to happen, you know, when Jesus told them to tarry. They didn't know what's going to happen. I mean, did Peter and John and all the apostles, you know, when they were in the temple, did they know they're going to suddenly, feel the Holy Ghost, start speaking in tongues? No, they didn't know about it. They didn't expect that sort of thing. They were not looking for that because they don't know. They were told to wait and tarry to receive power. So how are they going to come? They have no idea. And the moment they have that, they start preaching the gospel in tongues, in other languages. And then Peter stood up with boldness to preach the first gospel in their Pentecost. And after that, they began to realize the power. Then God used them to work and heal the sick and do miracles. Did they expect it? No. But you know, there were men of God who walked with God. And they are faithful and obedient to the word of God. Now, Jesus told them to tarry in Jerusalem. But if one of them or two of them say, well, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm going to make a journey. Make a trip. Have a vacation to some other place and come back. And when Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem, they didn't know how long they're going to wait. Right? But you know, for us, sometimes we ask the Lord for something. We expect God to have instant delivery. I think Singaporean especially, Not like Africa, some of those people in the country where they have time, they're going to pray. But here, no, we don't have time. We don't even have time to go out, eat lunch, so what we do? Call Deliveroo, Panda. And we call for fast food delivery. Right. Yeah, and when we queue up for the ATM cash machine, you go along, come on. You are in a queue behind. Come on, man. You go, all agitated. And we want God to have instant. You will never get it. The Bible said, tarry. What is the song that we sing? Wait upon the Lord. You got to wait upon the Lord. Wait, how long, Lord? Wait, how long? We said, how long, Lord? How long? And in the seal, the fifth seal, the soul is under the order. And the Lord said, wait for the season. How long is the season, Lord? How long? We are all impatient people. We want things our own way because we want to dictate. You know, the other day then my little Adam was infuriating me. I brought him home. I brought him from the school. I said, okay, from the, what do you call that? Daycare. It's okay. I said, okay, I'm going, we're going to the MRT, the train station, and come back. I said, I have to go to the hospital to pay my bill, So I was thinking, since I came from Choa Chu Kang to the Gombak station, I was only there's a bus from there to go to Jurong East, which was not without any fare for me, right? Because you can transfer from a train to a bus without extra fare. So I look, I said, it's 9:45. I asked him, does it go there? He said, no, you go to Bukit Batok. Then he said, Gamba, we can take the Bukit Batok and then we can change the bus to Jurong East. He knows everything about buses. I said, oh no, but that's too much of a problem, too long. Let's get the train go straight. He turned around, he got very upset. His mind is always on whatever he wants to do. Oh no, Gamba, we take the bus. And he started to throw his temper tantrum. Wow. And he refused to stop. He even shouted at me in the whole train station. Very infuriated. You see, his mind is there that he demands it. And I tell you, you are not in control. You cannot control everything. In fact, when we went up to the station, up the escalator, we already saw the sign that the train is coming. 1 minute. I said, come, let's go up. Let's quickly go up. The train is coming. He said, no one can come back. We just wait, stand on this escalator and go back. As we reached the top, the train went off. And it was a new train. And he saw a new train. He got angry. I want to get the new train. But you're not in control. You see? I told you to hurry up. You don't want. And he threw his temper. Wow. You see, that's the thing about me. He's a kid. I understand that. 5, 6 years old, they have wills of their own. Right, Elijah? I know the kids are there too. Don't laugh. Jonah, you are also guilty of it. Jimmy and I are guilty of it. My daughter Zoe also guilty. Because when we are young, we do all kinds of things. I understand that as a kid. But you know, we are supposed to be adults. If we are mature Christians in the Word of God, we cannot treat God like we are a kid. No. That's what Adam was saying. No, he was jumping like that. No. You know, we want to be controlled. We want to tell God what we want. And then God must answer according to what we want. Oh my. You see, you know what children of Israel did outside in the wilderness? They grumbled, they grumbled, and grumbled. And God just had patience with them. But Moses, man, he lost his patience and he suffered for it. God was so merciful, so full of patience. But the spokesman just got out of hand. God said, speak to the rock. He just give it a whack on the rock. And he told them, Master, what did he bring water for you? When I was thinking, if God get really upset, his rock comes up. What then? Huh? I'm a fan of the Hulk. I always remember. I love the way they come here, Hulk. Don't be angry. You don't know where I'm going. Woo! What about God? If you're You know, you talk about God being full of mercy and patience and love. But there's always a limit. Right? And that's why when God gets upset, then you will know. See? And sometimes, you know, when, you know, some many times I got upset with God and I just calm myself down, you know. Just I have to calm Adam down after a while and say, I'm sorry. No, when we calm ourselves down and just return back to God and just say, Lord, I'm sorry. It's just that there's so much problem in my life. So much thing that I want to have. So much thing I want to be in control. And I realize one thing for it. Only God is in control. In this life, you're only in control of what you eat. How you dress. Where you want to go. Right? Correct? Even when you go to a food court menu, you don't even know what you need. You're not in control. You want one whole round, I ask some guy, I want one round to eat. Just eat whatever. Right. So when it comes to spiritual things about our life, being that which is eternal in the hands of God, God is in control. So when we see that in the beginning of the Acts, we see how the hypocrisy, God dealt with them. But will God do it again this end time? When there's hypocrisy and the things going on in the church, but God did what he did. To Ananias and Sapphira. Would you steal from God? Would you lie to God? Sometimes we don't think much about it. And then, with boldness, the apostle care of preaching, until there is such a big number of converts, 5,000. It's a whole lot of them. Where? In the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem itself. Not coming the outside. Not even coming the outside. Just that in the city. That's a whole lot. And then what happened? Because there was a problem. Murmuring between the Grecians and the Hebrew. Let's go to the book of Acts now in chapter 6. Now let's finish chapter 5, the last part. When they were threatened not to preach, they were just continuing to preach the gospel. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the world. So by this time now, about 5,000 converts. That's a whole lot of people. Alright, so in verse 1 here, in verse 1, it said that there rose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrew, because the widows were neglected in the daily administration. Now when we talk about this, who are the Grecians? Who are the Hebrews? Now if you read it like James, of course, you will think that the Grecians are the Greeks. Or the Gentile converts, they are not. Because this is the beginning of the church and the only all of them are Jews. We are talking about the Grecian speaking, the Greek speaking Jews. Now, if you, let's take for example, Sister Cora, Sister Bali, those who are here working, and got used to it and you apply the permanent resident and all these things. And you go back to the Philippines. No, though you are a permanent citizen here, they know you as a Filipino. But they know that you are from Singapore. And the thing is also the same in that time, that these Grecian Jews are those who live not locally, but they came from other parts of the Roman Empire. They returned back. And so when you hear them speak, this fella is not a local Jew here. And just like you see the Chinese national from China, they came here, you know how they speak, you know, this is from China, these are not the local Singapore. And Sister Bali, they go back to the Philippines, and you start saying, no lie, lah, yes lah, okay lah. And then you know, say, this fellow is no longer a Philippine, he's from Singapore. So your accent, even in America, you have the Texan draw, you have the Kentucky and the country pumpkin speech, and you have the California, New Yorker accent. So people will know where you're from. But you are all, they are all Americans. So these are Grecians and the Hebrew. So, you see those, they've got 5,000. And the word widows sounds like we're talking about only women who have no husband. Or are married but have no husband, right? But the word widow is, it's expanded to those who are, have no support, that is to say. Alright, so a woman who lost her husband has no support. So that's what the word widow basically means. Anyone who have no support, no means of getting food and supply for themselves. You know? So this is the word widow brought out, not just woman who lost her husband. Okay? So the Grecian was not well taken care of, that is to say they were murmuring. There are 5,000 converts there. Those are given the tithes and the offering, whatever, you know. They put the money in the church and try to help those who are poor and they have beginning of the church. So that's what they do. Remember I told you about this. It's not about tithing, giving 10% to the Lord or anything like that. It is about giving. You understand? When you see the need, you give. When there is a ministry, you give. And let me tell you something here. You know, if you study the whole book of Acts, how even in another church group later on, in another country, when there is a drought, there is a famine, they collect the money, right? And support them there. You see? So if Peter and John, any of these apostles wanted to travel, how would they travel? They'll get the money, collect the money, buy them the ticket for them to go on board the ship. To go to another place. Isn't it? Huh. You see? Of course, when they preach out there, they need food. And usually when people are converted, they will feed them and keep them in the home. That's those days. But today, it's kind of different. Everything changes, we've got to adapt. Alright. So, let's continue. There were, you know, what is that? How did this murmuring arises? How did it start? And it said that the widow were neglected in the daily ministration. Well, you know, let's say you have a group of Christians from Persia or from other place, you know. I mean, Jews, they came back and come back to their own country because maybe they lost their job there, whatever, and they were there. And now they became a Christian in the park, but they were not really served. They were not really, because sometimes it's just that people are biased a little bit. And when you come to the biasness, it sounds like it's racism a bit. In a community, like Singapore, for example, and there are still people. I know, there are still Chinese, they don't like the Indian or the Malay. And they are Malay and Indian, they don't like the Chinese. There's still the stigma in some people's life. Do you know? Go onto a train. You sit down there, and you got President Oscar coming in. You see elderly people standing, and maybe you're Chinese. You see this elderly Indian man, because you don't like Indian, so you don't stand for him. Maybe in some sense like this. You understand what I'm saying? There is these people that they have this kind of attitude. And so the same thing over here. When these Hebrew converted were serving, they were more serving towards their own Hebrew speaking Jews than for those who speak an accent that is not local. Huh. Yesterday I was on the train and sitting beside me was this Indian man who was, I think he's from foreign land, came here to work. He was speaking so loudly on his phone. My, he was, you know, I was next to him. It was so loud. And I keep looking at him, he doesn't care. You know. I feel like telling him, hey, you gotta. So I just stand up and walk off. You know, it's just a putting off, and that maybe that's the reason why some people don't like that sort of thing. And maybe that's what happened. I don't know. But that's still the hypocrisy, because he's not the local Jew. So let me help those, the other first. And if there's a lot of problems, I'll give them. And so all these problems started and fingers at the point. In the end, it blows up. And then one thing, when the church have problems, and people start to murmur among themselves against brother or sisters, and you know what happened? The devil had a great time. The devil loved to see a church quarrel among your own brothers and sisters, or just let them quarrel, because you break up the church. Huh? So now the apostle then called them and said, well, you know what? We cannot leave. In verse 2, it's no reason that we should leave the word of God and serve table. That means that we cannot go around and minister to the food or the clothing, the needs of the different ones in the church. Because you will take time away from our ministering the word. The word is a priority. That's why I thank God for brother and sister here in the church who could do whatever they could do. As far as not ministering the word of God is concerned. Otherwise, you know, in the early days when I started the ministry, I did everything all practical almost by myself with one or two other brothers. The printing of the books. Those days we stopped printing our book by cranking, you know, those mimeography machines. I had to do everything, typing it out. Got a list of names, everybody would then write down and send it out. So that's a lot of work. I have to carry the mail and go to the mailbox or post office and then mail it and go to collect it. You see. So when there's a need arises, any one of you who can see the need there, put your hand to it and do it. So the apostle then said, well, you choose among yourselves 7 men of honest report, full of Holy Ghost and wisdom. Yeah, I need wisdom to do it. Yeah. But we give ourselves continually in prayer and the ministry of the word. And that's one of the things, let me tell you. He says, but we give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Now, there's a lot of preachers that don't pray. You know, continual prayer, it means that you have to spend a lot of time in prayer. You need to study the word. You can never be a preacher if you don't. I remember one brother here in Singapore told me, the brother here, you know, I find it hard, so hard to preach. When my turn comes to preach, one day as it comes right down, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, coming to Sunday when my turn comes to preach and share, I don't know what to do. I feel nervous, feel a bit, I don't know what to do. What am I going to share this Sunday? Uh-huh. You see, that is true. Why? Because you don't have the understanding of the word. I know you may know Brother Abraham said this, Brother Abraham said that you take the book of Abraham and you read this until the day. That don't give you any power without the word of God. The revelation of it. See? Last night I was going through my email, my old email, going back to 19-something.
I still kept on the email calls from hell. Lots of those big men that I know. And there was this one that said, Brigham, I love Brother Brigham's ministry. I love the message. Remember when I was proposed to God in 2006 or 2005. I go back and look at him. What happened to this man today? 2 years ago, 2016. I cannot accept Brother Brigham anymore. Brother Gunn, can you understand why? Can you see the discrepancy? I said, Brother, you don't have to believe Brother Brigham. But you know one thing you need to do. You've got to believe the word and make sure your doctrine lines up with the word. There are brother and sister overseas, they ask me, Brother Gunn, they are saying out there that people need to know William Branham. Well, they don't make the rapture. I said, that's pure nonsense. People think that they know Brother Branham, they're going to make the rapture. Huh? But then they will hear what they are trying to give their understanding. Oh, you see, John the Baptist, Elijah, that brother was Elijah as well. John the Baptist came and pointed the way to Jesus Christ. So people must hear John the Baptist. I said, no, I understand. That was the day. After John the Baptist died, what then? Did Peter went up there and preached? God sent a messenger, John the Baptist. You must know him before you know Christ. Did any other apostle talk about John the Baptist? Huh? Minister, you don't know John the Baptist, you don't know Jesus Christ. The minister, you need to know William Branham before you know the Bible, the truth. There's a whole damn lie up there. That's why I'm furious, because in my heart, you must see a bunch of fire against all this hypocrisy out there. The lie, the falsehood, and all this false doctrine that are being propagated. All about William Branham. When I speak like this, people think that I hate William Branham. If only they know. What did God give you the night vision about William Branham? Huh? The first person that appeared to me was Christ Jesus himself. And I hearkened. And asked him a very personal question. Can I overcome? And I hearkened. He said, you will overcome. And when I stepped back, he disappeared. Next place in the place took the man. A short man. And on that was William Branham. But I didn't worship him. I know he was there to what? My identification. People make a big issue of William Branham. William Branham is not first. Christ is first in your life. Remember this. Those early years when God started giving me revelation after revelation of God, so that I could preach the truth and type in shadow to these people. Look at Eliezer. When Abraham told Eliezer to find a bride for Isaac, right? Came back on a camel train. Eliezer, riding the camel train, behind was, who was that? Rebecca. So there was a long journey all the way from Padam Aram down to Bethel. So they talk. So at least they talk about Abraham. Talk about Isaac. Right, obviously. Rebecca might be asking a whole lot of questions. Oh, you know, Rebecca just loved to hear Eliezer talk about Abraham. The kind of man Abraham was. The kind of man that Isaac was. She hears. But the moment when they reached that place, who was out there in the field meditating? It was Isaac. Rebecca said, who's that?
And he says, that's the man. Immediately, Rebecca threw herself, jumped off the camel. And he ran, she ran to Isaac. Isaac ran to her, their long lost friend. My love! And the Bible tells us that Isaac took her into the mother Sarah's tent. That represents the marriage. What happened to Eliezer? From that point in time, you never hear Eliezer anymore. The man disappeared! He's gone! He's finished his ministry of getting a bride for Isaac. That's it. That's gone. In the tent. When Isaac and Rebecca making love. What do you think happened? Huh? You talk about yourself, your love for one another, right? Your expression. Rebecca suddenly never talk about. Oh, you know Isaac, my husband. Eliezer told me this. Eliezer told me that. Eliezer told me this. Eliezer told me that. Eliezer would give her a slap. Pop. Shut up. If you know what Eliezer is talking about, it's me. I'm here. That Jesus Christ said, he told the Pharisees, religious people, who talk about, we're the problem. So if you know who they have spoken of, you know they've spoken of me. The great man Solomon is standing right here. What are people always having no understanding? It's because they have been deceived. People don't realize they can be very easily deceived because they think that they are elect. If you know if you are elect, then you should know the word. Apparently you don't know the word. Oh. Alright. Continue in prayer and ministration of the word. When I started ministry, you know, attached me to you, but you don't find it in writing on my webpage. I spent a lot of time on my knees. Even when I was in the examines of God, when God restored me back to the joy of His salvation, I spent a whole lot of time praying. I even started with the permission of the pastor of the church. I said, can I have Monday night just to share with young people and get them to be soul winner and get them to pray? And then I started one. I call it the Prayer Right Sanctuary. And we have a notice board that I created. Posters and things like that. All the quotes of the Bible are quotes of what prayer is about. Prayer Right Sanctuary. The other section, the Messianite. The Missionite. I don't know whether my brother knows about it, and I still remember. I still have a photograph of it. Notice board. Two sections. One, the Prayer Right Sanctuary. On the right hand side, the Missionites. With an I for the male, with an E for the female. Pray, then go out and win souls. Pray, then go out and preach the gospel. It was then that the message came after about a year or two, I think. You know. And after that, when I left, I went on my knees. I spent so much time praying, looking at the Bible. I come home from work, have my meal, go to my room, study. I go out, buy books. Books that will help me understand. Background, concordance, research. Because I want to know. I need to have the tools. And that's what the apostle said, we need to continue to pray and to the ministry of the word. You see? And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Now, we do not know some of these other persons. As far as we know Stephen and Philip very well. As far as Nicholas is concerned, some say that, Nicholas
might be the one from which Nicolaitan come from. Because after he went up there and shared the gospel or something, but we do not know how true that really is. But you notice one thing, the name of these seven here, they are all Grecian names. They are not Hebrew names. So, the people chose, well, you know, it's a mixed multitude of converts. The Hebrew and the Grecian speak, right? But the Hebrew, in the voting and choosing, they didn't choose any Hebrew speaking man. They choose those who are Grecian speaking. That's good, right? I'm biased, right? That's good. So that's kind of at least that they can manage of their own, among their own people, as well that they can also understand the Hebrew. So you know, that's where the wisdom comes from. That's how God works among the people. So that there is no hypocrisy and biasness in this form. Okay, now we know that Stephen, the name Stephen means a crown. Anyone called Stephen here? No, of course. The word Stephen means a crown. That's a Greek word for it. And then we have Philip. Now who is this Philip? We know the Philip who later on became an evangelist. Ah, these are the seven men. And two of them we know well in the Bible. The other one, we don't know, but the Bible did not mention much about them. Although maybe after a while they left and go somewhere else. We don't know. You see, somewhere else to minister the word. Like we don't know much about Bartholomew or Thomas. In fact, Thomas, you know, we all know, said I kind of wonder how true that is, that Thomas went to India and he said, went to Chennai and then he died there. Now, that may not be really true, but there's a 50-50%, you know. You see that, because there are all questions, why, if it is so, how come Christianity there in India is so not proliferating? And all sorts of, you know, arguments. They said that Thomas, some now said Thomas went to Persia. Whether he went to India, said that's kind of hard to believe that he went to India. Because, you know, Catholic will always hold the shrine, hold the place, and this is, you know, how they want to build up what they call historical site, they call it. When any other thing can be claimed to be the place of the saints. Huh? Alright, okay, let's go on now. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they have prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of the Lord of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Now, the priests were converted too. Obviously, you know, when you see something like that going on, why not? To show them, you know, you get stirred up. I mean, this is God's work. God is doing the work. The people and those that the believers come up were bold enough to preach the gospel. Philip, Stephen. I remember, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit is very, when it comes upon you to endure with power, it's very unique. You know, I told you when I was a Christian at age about, before 12 years old. In the last 2 years, when I went to secondary school, it was there that I fell, you know, into the worldly thing about song and pop singers and all that stuff, because of a comment made by the teacher. And I spent 2 years in the world of Elvis Presley, the Beatles, Cliff Richard, the Rolling Stone, and whatever you have. And God, but my heart was still with Christ. And I never denied Christ. And God, just imagine, I have a neighbor in the same block who are interested also in pop music, and we share. So every time now we come and share the lyrics. And we will have, you know, we buy those single page, what we call a book, you know, single line book, right, the hard cover, not the exercise book that you have, soft cover, the hard cover. And when we write our song, and we will draw things on the song, make it look nice in the page. Anyway, when I went up there and buy those pop star magazine and cut out the picture of the stars or pop stars to sing and paste on that page where he sings the song. We spent a lot of money on that. I mean, looking back, of course, it's foolish, right? But yet the teenager are caught up in anything. I don't have a father to guide me because he's not a Christian. My mom only told me about Jesus Christ, so I fall in love with him. So, all those 2 years, you know, with this friend of mine who is not a Christian, who doesn't have any religion really, and then one day he just popped up a question. I mean, he said to me, "Richard, hey, are you a Christian?" I said, "Yeah, I've not been to church for a long time." He said, "You know what, I always wanted to go to a church and see what's inside the church. How the service goes on." I said, "You want to go?" "Yeah, I wanted to go." I said, "Okay, next Sunday we go." Oh my goodness. Come prepared. Use a cinnamon to call me home. On that Sunday we went to the big grace assembly in the church, the Assemblies of God, that my sister went, and I think also my brother didn't go, my mom, not Henry, but she went. So we went. I didn't know about the timing. So we were there late, half an hour, and the singing was already over. And when we went in, we sat 2 rows behind the back. I still remember to this day. In those days, people sit in front. But today, people sit behind. So, there was only 2 rows behind. So I sat down. And here the preacher came out to preach. American Chinese. Chinese American? American Chinese. What do you say? He's a Chinese, but he's American. So we call that American Chinese? Chinese American. Okay. Chinese American. Okay, yeah, that use that adjective. So he came out and preached. My goodness, message. Prodigal son, come home. Prodigal son, come home. Couldn't remember. It doesn't escape my mind. From the beginning, when he opened up, he started to point, he started to preach. Whatever he pointed his finger on the book, I was right at the back. There was one wing here and a wing here, like the shape of a T. And what's at the back? And he says, "Prodigal son, come on." You read the Bible. And he's preaching. "Prodigal son, come on." I was there in a trance. "Prodigal son, come home." I see a big finger. "Come home. Come home." Every time he moved his finger, I just into a trance. "Come home." And after that, he invited for those who want to give their life to the Lord. I went out there crying like a baby. It went on for more than an hour. I didn't know how time passes. The service ended, everybody gone. I didn't even know. I wasn't aware that they were moving off and gone home. I was at the altar there, kneeling my heart, crying out like a baby. Someone now got up and looked at time. It was past 1:30, almost 2 o'clock. And the pastor was sitting there in a pew in a chair, waiting for me. And he talked with me. Then after that, I got baptized, as you know, in front of the Holy Ghost as usual at that time. I attended the church for a while, and I said, "I would like to spend, can I use the room? Because it's a parsonage." I said, "Can I use one of the rooms down here for my fasting and praying alone?" He said, "Sure." And it was there when God spoke to me. And I recorded it in my Bible. What happened? What God said to me. And I said, "Lord, how could I be? I can't go to a Bible school. My father is sick, I mean, not working, and mom is bringing home food as a domestic servant. And I got work, how can I go to Bible school? And it just wrote down, you know. And I even told the Lord, I'm just like a child. What, how can I speak? And that verse, when I was praying, and God pointed to one verse of Jeremiah. Say not that you are a youth. And whatsoever word I put in your mouth, you speak. Now I recorded everything. And it was only in 1971 when the message came that I know what it was. But while I was there, I knew about William Branham and his ministry. But I didn't know about his message. Because the pastor actually in the church, they received the spoken word book from the voice of God. Or the spoken word at that time. But he don't want to put it in the library. And you know, God somehow used another brother in the church when I was teaching on Monday night. He was on the way and he went and took some book from pastor from the preacher from New Zealand. Was preaching in the what you call the community center. At that time, he rented the hall. So he passed by, collected the book, and two books. One of them was the Summer Church Age book, and the other one was the Exodus of the Prophet, by Perry Green. And he doesn't want the book. So you got it, read it. I said, this is the man I was telling you about when I was sharing with you on the book of Revelation chapter 1. You know, he said, no, I don't want it. I said, can I give it to me? He said, what you want to read, you can have it. I took it. And the very same night, when I went back, after 9:30, when we finished, I sat at the table and started reading the first few pages of the book of Seven Church Ages. I read it all the way to, I don't remember, I think page 16 or someplace there, where Bob made the statement. Three persons of the same identical substance, mixed three gods. All language is not language. I just closed the book. I put it down. Time, 11:30. I says, Lord, what have I been believing? Because I was true blue Trinitarian. As I told you this, people might laugh today. I look at myself and go, silly, huh? But to me, it was real, very real to me because I was taught that. And that's what the mind it is. When you're taught your doctrine, that you do it. To me, I pray the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three separate beings. 20 minutes, 23 minutes. Yeah, I always pray for 1 hour, so 20 minutes, 20 minutes. And then I talked about a table. And my table was a big table, you know, just a small room, one hall and one bedroom. That's all we have. The six of us, seven of us, squeezing in that little unit. I sat there, you know, looking out the window. My mom was sitting on the corner all every evening. And sometimes she would read the Bible. And there was there a table. I said, what am I doing? And the Lord spoke to me. You worship, you know not what. Like the woman at the well. You worship, you know not what. He says, Lord, I'm not going to read this book anymore. I want you to show me, from Genesis to Revelation, why I was taught wrong. So from that following month, I spent my time fasting on and off while working in the hospital. When the time when the patients are sleeping quiet, I spend open my Bible in the night from 12 midnight to 6 a.m. before I leave for work at 7 a.m. I spend my time reading, studying. That's why I wrote the book Logos. It begins from there. You know, God is real. If your heart desires more of God, He will fill it up. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up. If you don't have the desire for God, you won't get it. Now, how many Christians out there are very nominal? They go to church on Sunday because, well, they're religious. They're compelled to go to church. Isn't it true? It's just that when I go to the Philippines, they come to church everywhere. And when I pass by a Catholic church, you can see a lot of Catholic people going there by candles and pass by the church, they will do the sign of the cross and all that. a religious thing. When I was in India, you can see, you know, the shrine. In India, there's so many shrines all over the place. And some of those Hindus, they go over there and they bow and whatever they'll do, you know, move. The same thing over in Thailand. And the same thing with Christians around the world. Sunday! Well, let's go to church. That's it. Carry the Bible on your arm and come home, they put it on the shelf. The whole week, they don't touch the Bible. My encouragement to you, brother and sister, love the word and you see what God can do in your life. Right? So, here we see a good company of priests obedient to the faith. And I was a priest, so you can say, at that time when I was in the assembly of God. But then I heard the truth, I left the system and come back to the word of God. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then arose seven, you know, seven full of faith and power. Our seven must be a man who really spent a lot of time reading the Bible, praying and things like that as well. Because if you don't wait upon the Lord, you cannot get power from God. Your strength cannot be there. And as the disciple later on told Jesus Christ earlier when he was crazy, increase our faith. Right? Yeah. And Jesus said, if you have the faith of mustard seed, the faith of mustard seed, very small seed, so the mother may remove you. Whoa. The only thing, how do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to know the word of God. And there arose a servant of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of Libertine and Cyrene and Alexandria, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. Ah, the synagogue of the Libertines. The word Libertine here means those who are, well, you know, these are a group of people that are once a slave of Rome. And they were set free. So, okay, now you're free. You're free men. The word Libertine or liberty, right? When the word liberty was said. So they are free men now. Okay, and there are also those group from Cyrene, they are called, yeah, Cyrenians, and those from Alexandria, you know where Alexandria is, right? Okay, North Africa. And of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. I mean, there's always the same. Yeah, people are disputing with me, and sometimes they meet me, and those friends of mine, if they want to. But there are those who have disputed with me now, they kept my mouth shut a little bit. Because, you know, all I do is give them the scripture. Don't talk to me about William Branham or what Brother Branham said. Talk to me about what the Bible said. Huh? I said, either you take what the Bible said, or you don't. Just as the man I told you early on, I love the prophet, I love his message. I know we lived there for so long. But what happened? I believe that he said back 2002 that he was in the message for about 12 years. But then in 2016, what happened? There are too many discrepancies, Morgan. I cannot accept it anymore. So the problem you're looking at, what I'm telling him, you are looking at the words of William Branham, a man make mistakes. Whether he did not say the right thing, because it was all out of speech. You know, let me say this, as I say, Bob Graham's alive today. I will ask for an appointment and talk to him. Over all the words that they are there that he uttered. I said, Brother Brian, you said this here and you said this here. So which is right? And I believe Brother Brian will sit down and explain to me what happened, why he happened to say this. And in fact, the brother said to me, you know, in many places Brother Brian speak about God as three persons, of course. Huh? But then what are you going to do with it? Did not the Bible talk about the Bible talk about God has three persons? Looks like three persons.
Sure. Isn't it? And that's why when I read wrote the book Logos, and I said, God is not a person. People say, what? God is not a person. What did the Bible ever say? God is a person. As a person, he is a person. They couldn't understand. I said, the Bible said God is spirit. But he has a personality. That don't make him a person. But his personality was manifest in the person of Jesus Christ. Can you understand that? Look, I don't blame those people out there in the early church. The post-Nicene Council. You know, you had a pre and the ante and the post. When they sat down together to discuss about the Godhead. And as time passed, when it was established in 325 AD, that God is three persons. But then three decades down the road, you know what happened? They began to define God in a very strange way. Three persons. Now become three persons. And yet not three persons as three gods, but three persons as one God. And they confused themselves. There's one person got it right. Even though it's 99%. And that's Arius. He said that Jesus Christ is God. But there's a lesser God than the Father. And yet he is not another God. Because you know. Of course, the Son is not greater than the Father, which is correct. You know, people that chop God into these pieces, chop God into three, and then say, okay, that's one, put it back again. You think that is a jigsaw puzzle, it's still the line there? You know, that's early church, they're trying to understand, you know what I mean? Polycarp, Irenaeus, so many of them, Justine. You've got to read them, Master. That's why I have a book there. It's interesting how the mind works. But today, we have this place now. We have come to this stage now. That we cannot think, what God is really. Because why? And that's why I left the denomination. I took all the theological books out of my room. Let my mind be in the Word of God. Read in the history what people, how they argue with things, why they argue it that way. Go to the background. And to understand God, I go to Genesis first and understand Him. How He began. Go to John. Then I begin to understand. That's true. So now here we have some full of faith, the wonders of America among the people. And there was this group of, you know, it says, certain of the synagogue. I mean, that religious group, huh? You know? Whether they are Jewish people, or they are not Jewish people, or they are converted to Judaism, and then they have one synagogue, and the argument is stopping. But they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit with which he spoke. Then that suborn man, huh? What support means, they bribe. They bribe men. They don't like Stephen. You know, there are a lot of people do that, huh? You don't know what he said, they're going to report. That's what happened. I was reported to the police. I mean, to the CID in Singapore. Criminal Investigation Department. My name is right there in the record. It's in the computer. Yeah. The evil man, a pharisaical Presbyterian. His name is Peter. Peter, you know. The name Peter is kind of well known. People love the word Peter. Either he's headstrong or full of pride and things like that. Trying to get me in trouble with the law. Why? He doesn't know me. I don't know him. He just saw. I give him my name card. He saw the name. Prophetic Revelation. He went on the internet and searched the name. And saw my website, I guess, oh. Want to get me into trouble as if I'm a cop that I've caused trouble. Simple thing.
When I was investigated, the police officer in the CRA asked me, simple, after he don't know what to ask, you know, until the superior come, just ask him, just write him, make a statement, simple statement. They talk, oh, you cheat anybody in your church? You molest any woman in your church? You molest any children in your church? Do you say anything against the government? Everything. You know? He said, no. I said, I have the book here. I printed it. I showed it to him. I know I was investigated. I know what I was when I was caught by CIA, I know what it was. Because earlier on, the same person who wanted to do an article, remember I told you about wanted to put me in a newspaper and expose me as a religious cult. And see, his reporter, his journalist, his junior couldn't write anything because there's nothing to write about. So he got for me to CIA. That's why I realized what was happening. I took my book, the book that we printed, and showed it to the man officer. I said, I have a permit to print. If anything I spoke about, government should be inside here. He said, these are all about the Bible. So after he read out, I did not molest women, I did not cheat, I did not do this, this sign. Okay. You see, it does the same like Stephen, because he preached the truth. These people just cannot tolerate the truth. And that pharisaical Presbyterian could not accept the truth, want to get me into trouble. What kind of a man is that who called himself a Christian? Huh? Just because I don't agree with you, do I have to report you to the police? What ridiculous nonsense is that? But that's what Pharisees do. Is that not true? That's what Pharisees did in the day of Jesus Christ. They know that they cannot pass a capital judgment on a person, so they get the Roman to do and crucify Jesus Christ. Oh my. The stubborn was so wise. So they bring the bright man. The bright man outside. Come in, oh, you get a lot of people into this world, huh? Especially alone. The loan shark. They will get all those, well, little devil fella, you know, nothing, no money, those hooligans, those guys running around going spray paint on the door of the one who owes them the money. Huh? Write the word O dollars, P dollars on the door on the wall. That's what we're going to do then. So get them and to bring from innocence even against them. And that's what people will do. So this is one of the good cases. Get people who to tell the lies. And so there's a bond. The bride which says, we have heard him and these witnesses, these liars, these false witnesses. Yeah, we heard him speak blasphemous word against Moses, against God. And they stir up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon them, upon him, and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses. We said, this man ceased not to speak blasphemous word against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him said that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the custom which Moses delivered us. Is that true? Yeah, we heard him. So destroy this temple in 3 days, we raise it up. By Absalom. That he will change the law and everything. Oh, Jesus Christ said, I did not come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it. Right? Yeah, in fulfilling the law, so he went up there, the disciple walked the field and they got a little hungry, so they plucked ear of corn and eat, right? And you're not supposed to do that on the Sabbath. And you eat without washing hands. Well, this is not the law of Moses. This is not the law of the elders. Isn't it? And that's what is going on. These liars, when people are bribed to tell all kinds of things. Bribery in all sorts of plane. And so what did I face on those last many years? But again, teaches this. He contradicted the prophet. And my word has been twisted. My word has been twisted many, many times. Huh? Brother of God spoke against the prophet. This Korean says where the problem is nothing. In order to put words like this here and there, that there is a one that I posed. Huh? And some are smart. Though they don't want to oppose me, they will lift the problem in such a way to say this. You see, even the Supreme Court listened to William Branham. So you better listen to William Branham. That's what I asked the brother, what do you mean by to listen? To believe everything he said? Even the sky is red, I have to believe it's red. That's what he said. Yeah. Well, and all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him. But they saw his face as the face of an angel. How does the face of an angel look like? Any of you? Can anybody tell me how the face of an angel look like? Do you know, Brother Liu? Anybody? Very beautiful, like a woman. Cherub face. And somebody is handsome, sweet looking. We always think the angels look like this, huh? The word angel just means the face of a messenger. The word angel actually is a very misused word. I mean, the way it is translated, sometimes translate messenger, sometimes translate angel, right? But actually, the word angel in itself means someone of power, someone who you look at him has authority, who know what he's saying. You know, someone who is called a mighty man. Now you look at Brother Branham, Branham is actually short. Right. But when he comes to preach, Brother Branham is handsome? They say, oh yeah, he's handsome because they want to talk Brother Branham. Brother Branham actually is, the one thing about Brother Branham is that he has this deep set eye. Huh? You know, isn't that right? And he, of course, is a little boy here. And one time he put on a topi, huh? But he removed that. He wanted to be natural. You know, some people want to look young. Huh? Go for a facial massage. Go for what you call plastic surgery. I mean, there are a lot of preachers out there who probably do not know, looks too very young. Huh? They probably have a lot of makeup too. So what is that? So when he talks about the word angel, it means someone who is mighty, with authority. When you stand there, you look at Brother Bam, no way he just preached. He didn't act like those Pentecostal preachers. Like Benny, everybody like gonna hug him. No. You know, he stood out there, yeah, how he preached. You know, right? There is gentle kind of way the way he, but when he yelled out, he spoke, right? You look at him, the man of, he's an angel because he's a messenger. He has that authority when he talks, when he preaches. And that's why they look at Stephen. And they look at him and behold him like that. Now, I don't know how long that is. But the Bible just ended. The chapter just ended. You just look at him. No matter what they accuse him of, he just remained like that. And may God help us to be like Stephen, a man of faith and power. And I said, yes, give yourself to prayer. Give yourself a study. Read the Bible. Study. Hear. Understand. For that is eternal life. And that's why he gave you more faith. The more faith is given to you, you can be able to share with others. And the Lord bless every one of us. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word of truth, and we pray that we will be children
who look at the example that you have laid down in thy Bible, Lord, in thy word. Follow men like Stephen, like Peter, like Paul, like Moses, like Elijah. Men of faith, men who give time to prayer, to listening to your voice, to understand your word. Father, in the world, in this time that we live in, Lord, the world is then that in the condition that we are in now, and there's so much distress and so much problem, and surely, Lord, many in the last day, Lord, will give up their faith. We know the prophecy that you have given, Lord, in the book of Matthew 24. What the world will be like in the end time. Even brothers will betray another brother. Your false prophet will arise. Many will give up their faith. Like we are seeing now, Father, in the world today. Lord, we ask for grace to sustain us. And that our hearts and our spirit, O Lord, would always turn to thy word and look at the face of Jesus Christ in the mirror of thy word, Lord, and get our reflection in thy word to see whether we are living the life of Jesus Christ. So, Father, bless us today now, and bless thy word in Jesus' name. Amen.